80 number of seats. Age per province, as other than now. The CNDC is a model where children and families that don't have anything to eat and they cannot cook food, because remember, if you give the people food passes, they must still cook themselves. In some areas, they are unable. So we provide cooked meals once a day, bigger than this one, so that they can eat once. That also includes children. That is done in cognizance as a comprehensive program that the department is running. In each province, we identified a central, bigger NGOs that must manage the process in terms of monitoring, in terms of ensuring that on a daily basis they are checked this in terms of the number of people that have eaten the food, and also in terms of the type of meal they need to eat. And that and also that comes with the issue of the skills development for the CNDCs, because those CNDCs are the NGOs. In the old times, you call them the soup kitchens. Now the soup kitchens, we're transforming them to be viable. Here in Western Cape, we have got 17 of them. But the need is so vast that I think as we implement the programs, mid-year we'll be able to come to you for the evaluation, what the needs are, because there's so many people that are poor, especially here in the areas, in the townships, which is near to each other. So there's a lot of needs around. So I should say to you that I think this is a comprehensive program that SASA, DST, NDA are implementing, and also agriculture. One of the things was, where we have got a CNDCs and the land is arable, we can plow, because some of the areas we have. Agriculture need to see whether they could not identify women that can start food gardens, that where these CNDCs is going to buy from. Then you saw that we don't go to pick and pay. So the agriculture is passed through Feather Color program. They are part and parcel. Health participate with regards to whether the food they are eating are nutritious on a daily basis. And also ensuring that within the meal, there is that issue of the vitamin A additions and also other fortified food that could be given through. This is a program which is new. There's still a lot of challenges that we are going through, but I think in the future it's going to be bright in terms of where we are dealing with that. That is in relation to issues of food security. Thank you.
That links with what will be happening in the ECD and also the school nutrition program. Because we continue to give birth to more children as the Department of as South African government. You, for children, you do have a school nutrition program. On the other side, there's various menu out there, your doctoring centers, your private sector people, our pick and pay, giving soups, etc. But are we able to, as a department, as a lead department, able to consolidate and see to it that at least these are talking to each other? You know, there are so many parallel lines, many parallel lines, and they are not likely to meet as far as where as I'm seated here. Because when I sit here, I listen to what you're saying, and I've got an eye that says, look what's happening out there. Despite theoretically what we are saying in here, practically out there, there's actually confusion, even in this matter of food distribution. That's why I'm raising it. It went to the details. And it is difficult for a department to have a service provider of a service provider. Because I'm told it's Rulif is going to do this. show you the outsource of outsource of outsource. This is a huge problem that we need actually to tighten up. Otherwise, we will be found wanting, all of us, us as members of parliament and you as leaders, you leaders in real profession. This matter is a serious one. It's a huge problem. How do you take Uisem Thata at Dolophi? Right in the city. But these are matters that you could have briefed us. How you are going to establish this problem so that we are part and part of you and for that matter guide you. It's a huge problem, this food.
No, thanks. I just want to follow up on what the chair said. There's no doubt that the interventions of towards poverty alleviation. But what we will be interested in from a social transformation perspective is how, given the experience in one level of our government, the intent of every intervention program that we do, there's no longer an excuse. Whether the program is new or is emerging or what, we've got in 1 year of experience. So in terms of the best practice, we build on the weakness. Now what I just want to share in terms of what the respectable official just said, do we have quality assurance mechanism in place to balance the input and the output? And in relation to what the chair said, this is what we pick up on the ground in our constituency. That the beneficiaries, they slip out of the security net. Those who are not intended to benefit, they are the ones who benefit. So the question of quality assurance, monitoring and evaluation, is it finding expression as you roll out your plan? Because we understand any new program will have teething problems, challenges. But as I said, we've got competent people that are there. So there must be a question of system in place. So this is what you roll out, but it's about vision. It's about leadership, it's about efficiency, it's about effectiveness. So that's the question that I want to pose here. Because what we don't want is that people must not complain on the ground and say, we are disadvantaged, but we are further disadvantaged. We know the human element, the human end. So I'm trying to get through yourself, you and your team, whether in any new program that you are unfolding that addresses the plight of the poorest of the poor, in line with our triple challenges of underdevelopment, unemployment, and poverty, which are in fact three stubborn issues that we are confronted with as a democratic government. But what are we doing on the ground in terms of ensuring the efficiency, the effectiveness? But there are also processes to get. Obviously, there will be slips here and there, but it must not be as a use case. So the question, what I don't get said to you, is the quality assurance, is the proof, all proof of the system that we have. So that anything that we do, there must be an impact. Otherwise, it's just a routine. It's a mechanical approach. It's not transformation. So those are the issues that concern us. That's it through the chair. Thank you very much. But we appreciate all those interventions. But the outcome is what really concerns us. Because we don't want anyone else into democracy. Our people must self-reflect in the cycle of power.
We will continue to call for transformation in the department. And one of the requirements is that people of South Africa must lift themselves out of poverty and not to be assisted to be poor and to be driven to extend that I can get food, I can not work, I can not seek any employment because grant time, once I'm 60, I'm guaranteed of some sort of living wage. What I want us to look at is the portfolio evidence to ensure that what is taking place, you know, on the statute, you will remember you started from integrated rural sustainable development in the 25 that have been increased to 27 districts in South Africa. But further than that, you also went in with the Chile experience, that one of a Brazilian Chile experience of poverty eradication, change agents. You can go to Lubala. Go to Lubala, you will find still serious more problems because people are saying, you really declared us poor. If we give you a tank of water, the whatever is broken or the stand, they say government people have not arrived to fix it. And so it was so much dependency approach to an extent that people think they even identify them as people's government. So it has never been able to give us an experience, but we're coming with more others now, including food distribution, so that you can really not cook. And I know the areas there, I used to give them some veggies and other foods. When you go this side, around the touch, having given them all the food, all the food, they will go this side to sell it, to exchange it for either a beer or a bottle or whatever, in front of you having delivered it. And I don't think we want to keep people at that state of arrangement. We do want people to be assisted to lift themselves out of poverty. I think we are too sympathetic. We are not empathetic. Really, really, we sympathize with them. We're not putting them in their shoes in order to say, please lift yourself up. I think I was very cross, you remember, in one of our meetings, where the department was blamed for implementing a well-balanced approach. You remember that? I still want to swallow those words. Because indeed, some of the things that people were pointing out and that I was actually saying is not true, is proving to be gradually regressing to that. Gradually, because the small gardens, Bubuz and Zele, and all of these things that have been put in place, we are there with the ready, available food. And I don't know whether you link your programs with the indigent register, if there is still one in local government institutions. Yes. If they are there, if also what you find out as department through ICROP or through INIKONZO is also verified with the local municipality indigent register, so that you complete, you know that they get free basic services, then it links with health, with new school nutrition, free stationery, etc. The list is long. How I wish we can want to, because I was introduced to yourselves with a senior member of your department responsible for integration. I remember there was someone who was introduced as having been as being a manager or senior manager for integration. I think these must be looked into. What are they doing in this integration that the WIP is worried about? Can we pass through before I give you? Mama, we'll see your hand up.
Look, I support, and I want to say I'm coming out in support of everything you've just said. What is seriously concerning for me, and it's becoming an issue at every single meeting that we are having, particularly whether it's with the department or the entities, there is no integration. There are things being done, projects put in place, people run into money for treasury, people putting this project, that project, every new project, they're coming onto the table without any discussion with this portfolio first. And I think what the chair has said is critically important. We are on the ground. We know what's working. We know what doesn't work. We can give valuable insight to some of the incidences there, and yet because absolutely projects are being put in place and plans are made in place and budgets are put in place for this project, that project, and the other project without any discussion or presentation of the plans to this portfolio committee first, and I find that very alarming.
In which, if we have got answers, yes, let's give you, we wanted to respond to what I mentioned. If there are some things that you need to align for ourselves, please help us align our programs. That's our plea.
All right, thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I don't know where to start. All the what the chairperson has said and Ma Wilson there. I think the WIP, just like was suggesting the issue of the workshop, I think that we need that workshop. Because most of these things, they will need time for us to be able to engage with you and discuss these things. Because I came here in 2013, I found these programs running. My take was that the portfolio committee were aware of what is taking place. Now, if it's appearing now after a year, I've been here, it comes as if some of these things are new things, then it becomes a surprise to me too. And it doesn't feel good that we really need to sit down. And the issue of the Migonzo as it is happening right now, I've attended almost each and every one of the Migonzo that has taken place since I've arrived, because I've been telling the minister wherever she's been going. On all those Migonzo, I've been seeing integration between the SASA, NGA, GSD, local government, and provincial government. All those people are always there. When we do the political briefing, we do the political briefing to the mayor, to the councillors, to everybody that is there. This has been taking place. So now, that's why I'm saying that it becomes a little bit of a strange thing that I hear that this committee was overseeing
us. Just a minute, sir. No. I want to say no. Because we are not where you are. This is where we are. And at no stage have you ever given us that information. And this being the reason why you asked this question. The question is simple. Does ICOP speak to Nicole? Yes or no? Why are you offended? And then the second part of it is this matter of food distribution is a very new matter. It has not been there before. And I've traced it to you, traced it from ISRDP up to Chile experience. I might have been on the ground even more years than you were in the department and knowing what you know. You cannot expect us not to inquire. It is our duty to do so.
I agree with you, Chairperson, 100%. And my first statement was saying that we need the workshop because you are the person that we are supposed to be talking to. It seems as if, in my observation, that has not happened. That's why I was saying that I agree with you and I agree with Mary Wilson. I agree with Malcolm when she says that we need that workshop. So that all these things that are, that I've been observing on the ground, that you are not aware, and you're supposed to be the first one to know about these things before those other people get to know about them. So it means that it has not started here, it started outside here, it has not reversed back here. That's why I'm saying that I agree with you 100%. I was just making the point that I see these things on the ground, but the people that are supposed to be monitoring us and evaluating us do not know. So hence the question that is coming from the committee that comes to us. It says that you are going to evaluate on us. We are coming to say to you that we are doing it, but you say you do not know. Because we have not come to you first and discussed them. So I'm not going to say anything further. I just wanted to say that I agree with the notion that we need to come to you and discuss it with you, and that from there we'll all move on the same page going forward.
The matter of the workshop was proposed long time ago, and it was approved, but it never happened. The first thing as a new committee we asked was, can we have a workshop with the department to an extent that we conducted our own workshop at our own expenses and invited the department to make presentation, seeing that it was not taking place. Honorable Fulan.
Thank you. I think maybe as a committee I will take that we need to have a workshop. And number two, most of the programs that the department is talking about, they reported them last year. And like Honorable Fulan was debating on the food security. So maybe for us, maybe to get in detail in the implementation of what the department is doing. You see, we are in national. We are not sure what is happening in provinces. So maybe the department needs to invite us when they are having this outreach program or any workshop or anything that, or any program that is happening in the province. So that we must come and see. I'm from Gauteng. I won't say I did see them. Maybe they are there, but I don't know. So it's nice. Maybe you in the workshop us, you break this thing down according to provinces, so that we see that maybe Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Kimberley, what is happening. But here, we need to emphasize that we are having constituent offices in provinces. Let the department invite us so that we come as a community to witness what the department is doing. While we are sitting here, we'll be saying, indeed, the program like this is outworking. So that by the workshop we will assist and put us in all programs that you are doing. We'll tell you that we come or not, even if not all of us. Maybe the chair can say two members or one member of the committee must go. So that we must not be outside not knowing what is happening. Okay.
And I can also invite them to a place where these are 100% disintegrated that I know of. That is okay. Because we don't really come here very, very blank. Very, very blank. In fact, we've been to Limpopo. I can tell you what I didn't tell you then. But I think we will invite you to the worst affected areas where this is totally, let's leave it like that.
My issue is, I don't think we'll be everywhere, because we have a program also that controls us as a community. But my point will be, we've got researchers who are supposed to be researching on whatever that the department is presenting. At the same time, let us not forget that our researchers should do the work on our behalf, because unfortunately we cannot be everywhere. That's an effect. We cannot, we would want to go to those provinces to see whatever is happening in the provinces, but the issue will be the program of parliament that controls us. But at the same time, before we even have that workshop that we are waiting for, can we, our research units utilize the time and research on behalf of the committee? They can even link with the provinces, because some of the issues, it might happen that in my province issues are happening. Because for the issue of food distribution, I will attest to it that Mandela is doing it in my province. I will stand up and say it's happening in the province. I will even say the soup kitchens, I know about them because they are happening. I even know the areas where you go and get the soup kitchens. But it might not be the whole province of the province that is happening because it's a rollout program. It's not a program that we say it's a project that ends. It's something that they are rolling out over it. But what I'm saying is the thing. Let our researchers link with the provinces also to see if these things are happening. Because we do get a report from the people that are coming here are from the national level. But then what is the role of the provinces? Because my understanding, the implementers are the provinces. The provinces are the ones that are implementing all the programs that are happening. Can we get our researchers to research all the issues that we are raising? The issue of food distribution, all the issues that we are raising, while we are still waiting for the workshop. That is going to assist us because we don't know when are we going to get an opportunity to say we have a workshop and we are not going to wait forever. The last thing happens, and also I think it helps for us as the members of the portfolio committee. I think I said it again the last time that we really need to note the issues when the department is here raising issues. Because some of the issues that we keep on raising were the issues that we discussed, the issues that we raised since I became a member, I would say in June, since I became the member of this committee. There are issues, but at the same time, let us also assist in terms of moving forward, noting the issues that are of importance, because it's not going to help us every time that we move back. That's why sometimes some of us become frustrated because we spend a lot of time arguing on issues that we already we have information about them. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Marcus, it's just to say that this workshop we have to call as the committee. And the other thing is this, what is very important at macro level, because you have a macro level and we have micro at the bottom. So let us get that macro correct. And then the micro will follow suit. And I feel, and I agree with our comrades that researchers have to do a research study. You know that we know what is happening. Because I think in this committee too little research is being done. Because research has just been done on the analysis. But you never come with a documentation on something bigger. You know, because I think these things we should have as the committee members in a research bank.
I think we are supposed to be exactly doing is that if we're talking about APPs, we're talking about the continuity of the work. It becomes totally impossible to talk about new programs while you are not informed as to the current ones are. I think I will beg to differ in that one because clearly we are talking about new programs that are budgeted for. And therefore we are saying, having budgeted for these, what has happened to the existing ones? Are we linking them? In fact, the questions are very simple. They might be old questions, but it's clear, is ICROP talking to Nikonzo? Yes or no? Is this tech talking to this one? Is food supply and food distribution taking into consideration the school nutrition? Because the school nutrition has been there. One can say it's an extension. It caters for those who don't attend ECD or school. So those were simple things that needed to be put together for us to have a program, not necessarily a project. And secondly, there is no say, honorable member, to say there's no food distribution. But we're talking about the methodology. That's what we're talking about. Is it actually acceptable to those provinces and to the implementers? Is it being done the right way? And they know why I'm asking. They know why I'm raising that. Because issues have been already forwarded that there are issues. Thank you very much. So if we are true,
with these?
To answer some of the questions, I was preempting at that the issue of the iCrop, the Migonzo, I'll ask the CEO to answer on that one. But on the issue of the school's nutrition, it's happening on the Department of Education. Is the one that we're dealing with and as a department are the people that mostly the cohort between the 19-year-olds to the 59-year-olds, those are not working, that are during the day do not have anything to eat. That is what we're dealing with. The ECDs, I think that's the one that they are still talking about and is still going to come. And this is going to be the ECDs which is done by us. There is food that is distributed there. Then there is food that is distributed at schools. Then there is food that is supposed to be distributed to children. So there is a linkage between the two parties done by different departments and all those kind of things. But I'll ask the CEO to take us through on this, then and get Usis Nedi to take us through on the ECD side. I don't know whether we still want to talk.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Just to say, I'm going to the e-school integration between ICOP and Mikonzo, and I'm going to ask Caesar to please discuss the scanning and where we're going with that, and then we'll go to the lesson.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Member. With regards to the scanning of the 20 million to plus minus 20 million files that are currently lying in our registry, we have got a three-pronged approach. The first one is to back scan, which means scan all those files that already exist in these registries. And how we are going to do that is that we are going to identify the priority files and high-risk files like your disability grant files, which have got your medical records, and the foster care files, which have got your court orders, etc., will be scanned first. Obviously, we also want to target files for all the active beneficiaries, for all those beneficiaries that are currently in payment. We think that it's going to take us about 2 to 3 years to actually back scan all these files. The second approach is to scan all those files that are requested by agencies like your auditor general when they audit us, so what we call a scanning on demand. So whenever any party that comes, when there's an investigation or the AG, they are looking for files, we are also going to prioritize the digitization of scanning of those files. Just to say that the scanning and the scanning of on demand will take place at the 9 MIS registries or at the record management centers where these files are kept. The other approach, which is for looking at the long term, is to say that we want to scan these files at the point where they are generated. So what we are going to be doing in this financial year is also to test or pilot scanning at 9 local offices. We are going to select one local office per province where we are going to test the scanning of files as beneficiaries come, because we think that maybe in the long term this is what we need in order to prevent fraud and missing files, etc. Just to say that as part of the scanning project, we want to also identify those files that are in these registries that we no longer need. Quite a number of regions have not been destroyed files that are no longer needed because the beneficiaries have long since died or they have been lapsed a while back. So at the end of the day, we might actually be scanning far much less files than the planned 20 million or so. There was a question around who is going to be scanning these files. We are going to train the staff that are currently in these record management centers to do the scanning, but depending on the volumes, we may also employ staff on a temporary basis, and obviously the
understanding closed cases and final life. The closed cases mean there's been a cursory investigation and it was found substantively not to be fraudulent, potential misuse of the grant by parents. We get daily reports from neighbors through the hotline, the presidential line, and the public service commission line, reports on so-and-so giving grants to this child, and she's here, and the mother's looking after this child, those things. We're not criminal, but it needs to be referred. The finalized cases means the investigation has been complete and the case has either been referred for disciplinary hearing or to SAS. At the moment, we have 302 officials involved in these matters. There's 265 suspension, 53 dismissal, 13 terminated before we could raise the disciplinary, 5 convictions, and that comes over the period of time. Recovery is made through a process. Recovery cannot just be, I can't attach anything of anybody, and it's 2.3 million rand that you were referring to. Where community members are involved, one same sentence and in prison, there's nothing we recover from them, these poor people. Only staff, the 2.3 million, has been a recovery against staff of SATA who have been convicted. Because that is a process we can go for attachment. Because there's a pension attachment or a physical good. So out of the people convicted, that's where that money comes from. The rest, unfortunately, there is a large number of syndicates. Our role as SATA should be is to put up barriers to prevent fraud. The bulk of the fraud has been in the grant system where people are getting it without being eligible. They're poor, they're unemployed, but they're not eligible. And that is so. We have raised a lot of debt over the years. And the debt that is against SATA comes from GST time, even when I was the head of department in the province. And that is why we have so much debt that we now have to stand for. Yet it comes over many years. Because you need to write off debt, because there was an issue raised about it. You need to have money in your bank to write off debt. DSD sits with this problem, but some part is with them, and some part since when SATA was started. The SIU did investigations, they raised debt, but when we reflected on their bookkeeping, which is what we're doing right now, we'll actually have to audit all that. That was people who were doing illegally, people who were nurse teachers and whatever, they raised the debt, but they're currently on pension. So your return is very low. So, and we're not a debt collection organization, but we've got a project that we've started to try and at least confirm the debt, because if it's old, if it's aged debt, it should have been written off. And then we'll have to go to cabinet, because some of the debt will never, ever, ever be recovered. As I sit here, I can say quite honestly, we are not going to get that money back. Because people, if they are on pension or they pass, a lot of people have passed on.
Yes. Just a minute, the whip wants to clarify something.
Yes.
Just clarification. Then I think it's important for SASA, if it's old debt, to give us the age of the debt. Because then, because when it goes through the writing of a debt, then it goes to SCORPA in Parliament. And SCORPA will decide whether that debt is written off. So we need to have the age to, when you speak, as you go along, bring that to our attention too. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. During this year, with the SIU debt that is intending to be taken over, we will do the age analysis, but we'll also have to, because of the money, Treasury does not allow the financial principle. That's right, I can say something. But because of the situation, and we will be able to audit it in order to present it for recovery or write-off, and we will do that in this financial year. The other question that needed, the vacancy rate, again, I want to stress, when people look at how much staff SATA should have, which is 16,000, we cannot have that staff right now. It's not costed because we're only doing half the job. We're only doing applications. When we take over the whole system, then we should go to those kind of numbers. We cannot go there now because we are only funded
for 10,000 staff. There will be a refreshed staff establishment designed during this year for the work going forward. So we can say, is that real? Should it be 18, 16, 15? We have to be clear against how much work we have. We also have to be clear on the type of standardization we've made in offices. Do you need 3 staff to take on an application to approval, or 4 staff and do the payment and do the enrollment? So we're designing a new staff establishment to fit the future work of SASA. So when you talk about vacancies, you can only count us out of 10,000. You cannot count us out of 60.
Sorry, Chair, thank you. I do not understand that. How are we looking on the 10,000?
Before you respond, Honorable, so that you answer both questions, Honorable,
on the issue of the vacancy rate, I understand what the CEO just explained. Can you please redesign the organizational structure? Because we have the right to ask this question continually if nothing is being done with that statement, with that organizational design. If the vacancy rate is maybe plus minus 10% and it's still coming on the next meeting like that, we will ask that, because people outside are looking at us to say, what are you doing with those pools that are not filled? Because on the strata, they are there, and some of them are funded. So I think that's why we need to take it as quick as possible. We cannot wait for 2020 or 2019 to rectify the issues of the strata, because we talk about human capacity and unemployment is high in South Africa. And maybe some of the jobs that you check there are of the general jobs, not so much technical, issues of administration. So can you please deal with the issue of the organizational redesign, so that next time you imagine ask this question, you will see something that are stupid, but they are not. We need to reduce the vacancy rate in South Africa.
We totally are supportive, Chairperson. In fact, the review process will start as part of the work streams work, as part of the new payment model, and it will start in this year. But it's time you could just give us the current vacancy rate.
Thank you, Chair. Yes.
Okay, all right. Are you responding to that?
Yes, not to give the figure. The vacancies that we have in against the 10,700 is 634, and most of these posts are at different stages of filling, which means we've already advertised them and we're in the process of filling them.
More than that, probably, let's go parallel. The review process of what will happen to the pay agency and what the department will absorb and do internally, so that your process of filling posts also talks to what you intend to insource, and what you think you still going to continue for a number of years outsourcing. So are we happy with that?
Thank you, Chair. We are very happy. We will present you as we go along with our work streams to give you an indication of the evolving between the SASA today and the SASA that need to do the end-to-end solution. There was another question just on SRD for province. Nye, do you have figures to support, or your baseline of 400,000, or amounts that you can present?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the amount that we spent last year, I don't have the breakdown for province with me, but we spent just over 500 million. The allocation we've been given for this year for social relief is 249 million. We've already gone back to Treasury and said, based, you know, against the need, that 249 million is not going to be enough. But based on the 249 million we've got, we are targeting 400,000 individuals to benefit from the social relief program in the course of this year.
In terms of the linking program as requested, the only linking that can happen, because there's only older persons, persons with disability, and children predominantly who receive grants on our system. Nothing for people between the ages of 18 and 59 who could potentially work, but there's no work. The parents of the children are usually our target for linking programs. where we've established cooperatives together with NDA, we have looked at the possibility, so these two cooperatives, there's the vegetable one and the uniform cooperative, of taking some of the parents to work in these cooperatives. But we cannot, as a department, take the pressure of the economic sector for the job losses in the country and augment with our people. We can do the very best we can in our environment, but it's not going to be enough to address the unemployment and job losses that we experience every year, and we have to respond in the best way we can. We will obviously present this committee always with the figures of what we've been able to name, but it will always be a drop in the ocean, because we don't support adults, we support children and older persons and people with disabilities. Thank you, Jane.
We were promised that there is a program that will take place between the Department of SMME and Cooperative Development together with your department. Sadina, can you share a little bit so that relief of women who must be placed in the projects or cooperatives who are beneficiaries, are you planning to have that in the link with the that new department?
Yeah, the Chairperson, let me, what I was explaining yesterday was this. We attended the SMME portfolio committee, where each department is required, is requested for contribution to the radical socio-economic transformation in the country. And one of the things that was there is to look at sustainability and dealing with poverty, also looking in terms of the economic transformation, wherein the approach that has been, which are going to be taken by all government departments, is that there is an understanding that we pay grants to women as an initiative for poverty alleviation. Women that are recipients of those grants get targeted to form cooperatives and also SMMEs and any other small businesses that will deliver services in a variety of things. And also I think as the department already, I think the SASA is going already SASA in a small and DSD are in the cooking part of it, which you will be informed when that is finalized. The approach is that, you know, if you look at the graph, they will tell you so many children are receiving grants. Then you will say, what happens to the mothers of those children is in terms of developing them for further. So the Small Business Portfolio Committee called Department of Education, BASIC, called the Department of Higher Education, local government, social development. Our role is to say, these are the women that we have there, these are the children that are receiving grants, these are their mothers, this is where they are. In terms of the status A, this is the poverty stricken area. We then look at getting the Department of Higher Education training those people through the health and welfare center as a cooperative so that they're able to deal with the issue of business entrepreneurship. On the other side, those cooperatives, once they are formed, market is indicated. One is the issue of those women could clean the schools continuously. One, some of them will do PSLP, school nutrition program. On the other side is also looking at in variety of things. Cooperatives do some, they do uniforms, some they do food security, some they do, they become SMMEs that can render services. Now for the food security part of it is that there are pockets of areas where food are being procured. Hospitals, schools, our own program, Community and Nutrition Development Center, which we have. So those women will be grouped around those areas where there's poverty and the lenders are arable. Agriculture will be able to train them, and also DTI will be responsible to register those companies. So it's a whole comprehensive thing that once it's finalized, cooked, we will come here and I think report and say, this is our contribution in what the president has said we should. I think if you look at the speech of the president, there was the issue where he said 60% of the procurement of government department should come from SMMEs, which is not the case now. So in preparation for that and in taking this forward, this is what the department is going to be doing, participating on. But I think once, I'm hoping that by the time we have the workshop, I think the whole approach will be taken that will be presented to you. Thanks.
That's great news.
It,
they will allow us to sleep.
Yeah, it, still on that, there's also what we need also to brief them on the implementation of the policy on food security and the strategy. I think that in the workshop we'll be able to say where does it come from, where does it started, who are the participants on that program, because it's many departments coming into that. We hope that, I think, for the DG, we'll be able to have the workshop soon so that we can take you through the programs that we have. And also, notwithstanding that there won't be challenges, remember we have got a policy, we have got know what's supposed to happen. When it goes for implementation, there are so many risks on the ground that you will always get, not everywhere also actually. So I think taking cognizance of that by 2030, I think we have got a better vision. Thank you.
With the information, we have to dig and dig. Thank you very much. I think we are true now. Indeed, we are true now. Oh, there is another input. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, maybe just to add on to Peter's statement, but without the risk of sounding like we run other programs that haven't been presented to the House before. There was a question on linking economic opportunities. And I think one of the first challenges we discovered when we tried this many times in the department, one of the first challenges we discovered was that, you know, if there isn't economic opportunities...
Please bring your mic closer.
Sorry. I was just saying one of the challenges that we have with linking social grant beneficiaries to economic opportunities, and not the beneficiaries, but it's the households also where we have grant beneficiaries, is that where there are few economic opportunities, it's difficult. So that's why the department has taken the strategy of trying to help people create the economic opportunities. Peter described in much detail the cooperatives which the department is assisting with and trying to stimulate. We have other programs such as a savings program where we help teach people to save and so forth. We're also looking at, we'll be working on a policy very similar to the Indian program, the Negra program in India, where we offer a guaranteed employment scheme, and looking at possible ways of taking EPWP program to that level where we can begin to offer more guaranteed type of public employment assistance to people. TASA is also working with the NDA and us on looking at alternative pay point models which support local business development in both urban and rural, very urban and rural areas where smaller shops, not just the big shops can pay grants, but also the smaller shops, and hopefully stimulate that business in that way and cause money to circulate, the social grant money to circulate a bit more in communities. But as Peter said, we probably will have to then present that in much more detail in a workshop.
We scrutinize you this because we are already being informed that the xenophobia outside there is also because so many are not employed and they think their jobs are being taken. So this department has a mandate to coordinate job creation. That's why we want to always be on the alert and be always informed of what the department intends to do so that we are not found wanting at some stage. Wilson, can I give you the last question so that we close, we wind up. And I think everyone else has been able to ask questions and everyone has been allowed to respond.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to pause at this point. Thank you.
I didn't get you, ma'am.
I'm going to leave the question at this point. Thank you. I think I'm half covered. I need to mull the rest. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. I would be disappointed if you withdraw your question, because it's the time for us to be able to talk to each other so that we don't talk in corridors. We are acting district. Thank you very much for the long day. And secondly, Sasa, thank you very much. Why we wanted to be together is not to say if we were here, Sasa could have done this. If Sasa says, if you say Sasa is not here, so we are all inclusive and in one room, under one roof, and we can share our experiences throughout. Thank you very much. In fact, we have given you a free day. You're going home today.
And thank you so much for everything, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The last word that you have just said on the issue of us being together in one room, it would be so happy that NGA would have been here, because there are so many questions that have been touched that touches all of us that are integrated between the three of us. But on the issue of the workshop, it's not the DG or the department that's going to call the workshop. We'll wait for the invitation. We will come to, because we were invited one time and I think it clashed with the issue of Indaba, then we couldn't come. So we are still willing to come and share with you on all these things that are taking place, that we see that there is a lack of communication between ourselves. But thank you so much for giving us a day off on Friday. Though it's not a day off for us, we have got so many things that would have been pushed back if we were coming here. Thank you so much.
The CEO will have to ensure that your executive, because those EPWP were taken away, there's a shortage in your offices out there. The Kaizisha people were around here with the also other things. Please talk to your executive and sort those matters out. They are internal matters. Can we then allow members to go so that we look into roughly 5 minutes into our program? We will allow the department to go, but you must take a decision about our program. Okay, honorable members. Even if we don't deal with this particular business, we still have another time. I can feel we have been long sitting here. So I just wanted to make that proposal that can we postpone another internal program so that we do it later? Because people have been here and next time we deal with that, we start from what we have left over. Yeah, I wanted to say that. But I didn't want to allow it to disappear, yet it was in the program. Yeah. So I can bid you farewell and everything next week, because we sacrificed for Friday.
yeah, so that and program, so that when we come to discuss it, we are easily adopted. And let's, thank you very much. Yes. It was a difficult week.